You better believe it, Steve Jones. How you doing, buddy? It's great to be here.
It's great to have you on. It's a lot of fun. You and I had a couple conversations on the show about, okay, let's see how this goes. In the end, the concept of the MLB Draft League, what made it a really good fit for Williamsport, and what's your level of excitement for this concept?
Well, our level of excitement, first, Steve, is pretty high. You know, we feel, and we'll get into it, but we feel overall that the level of play and the baseball itself has a great shot to be better. You know, because of the type of talent that is expected to be in the MLB Draft League, the top draft-eligible players from across the country. So, in essence, and there's only six teams in the league, which really makes it like virtually six all-star teams, right? Instead of getting prospects from just one team, in our case, it was the Philadelphia Phillies, you're getting their draft choices. Some are high-round draft choices. Some are, you know, 30th-round draft choices, and everywhere in between. So you really only have a few prospects. These teams could be loaded with top prospects. So when we would ordinarily have, in any given year, maybe three, four, maybe five of our players eventually see time in the major leagues.
Right.
Odds are we're going to see many more players on every individual team eventually see time in the major leagues. I'm not going to put an exact number on it yet because we haven't gotten things rolling. But, you know, exponentially higher number of future major leaguers on these six teams than you would ordinarily have on a former New York Penn League team. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, and that's what I think that I completely agree with you. It's interesting you bring that up because today at the Micah Shrewsbury press conference, now obviously I got asked questions about the new basketball coach, and then I got asked a couple of questions about the potential for Phil Stadium in the fall. But I got several questions about this MLB Draft League, and that's exactly what I told them. I told them, I said, look, the level of baseball is going to be higher. I said, with all due respect, the 19-year-olds playing the game didn't really give me a lot of confidence in the game.
Or even 18-year-olds,
yeah,
in some cases, right? So, you know, some of those guys, 5 years later, could be top stars in the major leagues, right? But
but
at the time they're playing in the New York Penn League, they're young, they're raw. So now we're going to see overall a more mature, deeper type squad with really unlimited potential. And so it's really exciting. And the great thing about it, Steve, is that, quite frankly, the strong arm of Major League Baseball is behind it. They run the league.
Yeah.
They have a vested interest in the success of this league because they have a plan, and this is part of that plan. Whether it's a plan that, you know, that every person agrees with or doesn't agree with, this is their plan. And the MLB Draft League is an integral part of it. So we're real happy to be a part of it. And I think really overall with where minor league baseball was going, vis-a-vis what MLB wanted it to be, that this is ultimately a much better long-term fit for Williamsport. So we're very happy about it.
Yeah, and for State College. I mean, I agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're real happy that State College is part of it, too, because, you know, we have such a long relationship since they came into being. So it's a good rivalry, and we want to keep that going.
There's another element, too, and this is minor, but comfort enters into this. Mahoning Valley's still there. State College is still there. West Virginia's still there. Yeah, Trenton and Frederick are two add-ons. But they're looking at the schedule, and it looks this, like some of the same names, and I think that adds, I think a fan likes comfort, too.
It does. And, you know, as you said, four of the six teams are New York Penn League teams, former New York Penn League teams. And, you know, in the very beginning when we were first talking about this back in the fall, the name, you know, we were looking at still keeping the New York Penn League name. again, for just what you said, you know, comfort, familiarity for fans to understand that, hey, this isn't such a huge departure from what it was. But then, you know, the idea came up of, heck, why not have MLB in this because it's their league? And it helps add credibility to the whole thing. So I think MLB Draft League tells you what it is. It's part of MLB. These are, you know, draft eligible top prospects, and I think MLB Draft League is a great choice.
You have made some fabulous additions to the ballpark. Now you've got the MLB Draft League. What's the reaction been within the community to the combination now of the two?
It's been positive, but you know, we're in such a strange time, and you
yeah,
know,
admittedly,
we don't have as much contact with all of our fans as we usually would right now, and over the last year, but anecdotally, and the fans that we do talk to, and our sponsors and partners on the advertising side, everybody's been very positive, and you know, nary a negative word. Because what we say is this: when you come to the ballpark, it's going to be the same thing. Your experience is going to be the same. You know, our team is still the Crosscutters. We're still playing many of the same opponents. You know, it's still three outs an inning and nine innings a game. You know, we're getting, in many regards, the same types of players. We're getting them now 6 weeks before the draft, when before we got them a week or two after the draft. Right. So with the draft moving from the beginning of June to the All-Star break in mid-July, it just changes, you know, dates here. But, you know, half of the team, it's still kind of the same, except deeper in all top prospects, not just three or four or five top prospects from your one organization. And we say, look, you know, you, my friend, are a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're a fan of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're a fan of the L.A. Dodgers. Well, now you can see players that potentially will be part of those teams in the future, because these guys can be drafted by any of the 30 MLB teams. So, you know, instead of being an affiliate of just one major league team, we're an affiliate of all 30, and that's the way I look at it.
That's a great way to look at it. It's exactly what I was telling somebody today. I said, look, you could have a player out there that was drafted by the Cardinals, a player drafted by the Giants, a player drafted by, well, I didn't want to hurt the Marlins, or drafted by the Yankees. I said, you could have, you know, I said, they could all be drafted, and they're going all over the place. A lot of guys to follow. So, Gabe, state guidelines have to obviously be followed. You know, that's
right.
Going to be an important part, too. So how are you going about ticket sales right now? Are you doing it under the guise of what, at the moment, the governor says as of April 4th? Is that how you're going about it right now, with the idea you can expand it later?
Yeah, that's exactly the case. And Steve, I know, you know, the Cutters and minor league teams and other teams in the draft league, I know we're all a little late to the party in talking about ticket sales. And that's because things are changing so much. You know, once we put something in place for a certain amount of time as far as tickets go, we've got to pretty much keep that in place until... So let me explain it another way. Most teams are only opening up tickets for a certain amount of time, for a certain number of games, so that they can then pivot again if the situation gets relaxed. So in our case, in letters to our season ticket holders and mini plan people and people in our various clubs, they're just going out this week, and as we speak, literally. And when we open tickets up to the general public, which will be May the 10th, they'll have 2 weeks before our season starts to begin getting these tickets. When we do that, we're only opening up May and June. And we would only open up May, except we only have two home games in May. So there's just not enough there. So we're doing May and June. So once we commit to the way we're doing things on May 10th, it will go through June 30th. We'll then pivot in July for July and August if, in fact, things change. You know, right now it's 50%, up to 50% capacity with social distancing in place. And that's the key, the social distancing. You see 50%, you say, hey, we can get 50% in the ballpark. Well, no way, you can't.
No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, I don't know a ballpark with all my, you know, friends and colleagues around all sports, we're all between 25% and 35%. That's that's as high as we can get with social distancing at 6 feet. So it's been fun putting together seating charts. I think everybody around sports now is an expert in seating charts in their stadiums, because you've kind of put together, it's a Tetris puzzle. And you're figuring out how you can get the maximum number into your park in these pods of two. You'll hear the word pod all the time now, right? Two, four, six. And you have to buy that amount of tickets. You have to purchase one of those pods to, you know, to get in. In our case, we have a 2,500-seat stadium, a small one. And it makes it more challenging because we have, in our first level, which is called Field Reserve, we have about 600 seats.
Right.
Well, we have 400 season ticket holders in those 600 seats. So to social distance 400 people with 6 feet in a space of 600 seats is impossible. So, you know, we have too many season tickets for social distancing in some of these sections. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But we'll be on a total voucher system, and people will turn those vouchers in for tickets in advance online and pick their pods, et cetera. It's going to be different. But I think people are hungry to get out and do anything. Mm-hmm. Let alone come out to the ballpark and have a hot dog and a beverage and hang out. It will certainly look different. It will feel a little different, but it's going to feel better than our summer that we had last year. That I can guarantee.
No question. How do you want to handle concessions, and how do you, and how much touchless opportunities are there within this?
Yes, so previously here at Historic Bowman Field, when you came in the ballpark, we took your ticket. You know, we didn't have scanners. We'll now have scanners at the gates, so we don't have to touch your ticket. It can be scanned. That's number one. Number two, for ordering food and beverage, you'll be able to do it on an app with your phone, and it can be delivered to you. You'll still have the option to go to the concession stand, but we are certainly pushing people to use their phone, do it on the Cutter's Fan Food app. You place your order, it goes right to the concessions, and it gets delivered to your seat. So you have those opportunities. No money exchanging hands, all done, you know, via your phone. So we're looking forward to debuting that as well. So that means, you know, lots of runners doing the food and beverage operations, and we're looking forward to implementing that though. And you know, game by game, we figure that will become more popular because that will be 100% new, and it's just going to take time for people to embrace it and to use it. But I think eventually they will. Once they use it once, I think they'll use it again and again.
Yeah, exactly. Gabe, we'll do this again a couple more times. That way everybody can be updated with the latest information. I really appreciate the fact you did this today, and the Cutters are going to have a great summer, I know it.
Thanks, Steve. Much appreciated. Appreciate being on the show, and I'll be listening, buddy.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to being there. So, you know, we're looking forward to being there. Thank you so much, Gabe.
Thanks, Steve.